Shun the Sun.
Hey everyone, it's David Dillon here from WeShunTheSun.com with episode 9 of our podcast.
We can't say weekly.
No, we can't say weekly.
Well, our last one was last week.
But we attempt it weekly.
Yeah, that's right. And who are you to complain?
Exactly.
Alright, so leading off this week's worth of news, first off, some obviously Microsoft news we'll get across. The Xbox now being released without the Kinect.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people were saying it early that it was going to happen, and so many people saying, nah, they'd never do it. You look how their strategy revolves around it. They got a new guy in charge, and I think his number one interest is sales.
I was about to say, I think their strategy now is like, wait a minute, we should probably do whatever we need to do to get money.
That's right. So, and, I mean, they're having enough demand for it. I don't see why it's an issue. If people don't want it, don't give it to them.
I think there's only one issue now, which is that some of the people who bought it in the first place feel a bit cheated.
I've got no problem with
it. Yeah, yeah. And obviously, it's case by case. But one person did make the point on a forum I was reading, and it's probably totally true, that any chance that there was going to be top quality Kinect software has just been lessened quite a bit.
Yeah,
but because I mean, there's no longer going to be an assumption that every single owner has a Kinect.
Yeah,
there'll be a lot of people out there who don't. So,
well, when you think about it, were you really expecting top quality Kinect?
Probably not. Probably not. But you know, that was certainly
the
what
one
Microsoft
game
told
that was
us.
Supposed to be like the first game for the, you know, Kinect 2.0, Kinect Sports Rivals, was the sack of absolute...
Yeah, and that put a nail in its coffin. I mean, it's early days. I'd love to be proven wrong.
And they've come out saying, you know, what's Rare going to do now that the Kinect's not out? Let's say, yeah, hopefully they hire some talent now.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see some of the old school Rare games.
Make a decent game. Oh, well. But yeah, lowering the price point, $100 in America...
Yep.
And $100 in Australia. Now, what the $100 in Australia actually means is that it is now cheaper than the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, that's the good part about this happening. It's much more competitive now. So it's going to be interesting to see now whether... I mean, Xbox traditionally was really, really strong in Australia.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see now that the Xbox One gets kind of a bit of a resurgence here.
Yeah, I mean, the way it looks, though, $399...
Yeah, it looks very good.
With Titanfall.
Yeah, it looks good on paper.
Yeah.
So right. I think that will turn some heads for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, Titanfall, as it was apparently the best-selling game of last month.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you were thinking about getting onto it, but you couldn't afford it, and you think, oh, well, hang on, it's $100 cheaper now. And that's at RRP as well. You can see it's probably going to get a bit cheaper. There's going to be bundles thrown in to get this going. In June, they stated the release. Just after E3, they said you'll now be able to get a hold of the Xbox without Kinect.
I know it's unlikely, but it'll be interesting to see whether Sony now do anything to kind of respond.
It's true.
They may not. They might just say, well, we're currently in the lead. Let's,
yeah, they're basically
let's not
saying,
cut our
well,
profits yet.
That's right. They're basically saying, oh, so now you're the same price as us.
Exactly.
We'll see how we go now.
Mm.
Next piece of Microsoft news was Halo 5 Guardians announced. And that's quite strange that it was announced before E3, but I think what they've probably done that for is because they're saying there's a Halo game coming this year, and then there's a Halo game coming next year. Now, the next year is Halo 5 Guardians. So more than likely, they want to get that out of the way so people don't feel let down at E3. That's my guess.
Yeah, it could be. So you think, in other words, at E3,
they'll
show off
they'll
what
show
the
off
other
this
one
new
is.
Halo. What the rumor is right now is that apparently it's Halo 1, 2, 3, and 4 all remastered on one disc.
If that was true, that would actually be quite cool.
It would be. I'd buy it. And I've played through all the Halos.
Mm. That would actually be quite cool, and especially if it was all four, that's insane.
Yeah, that's the rumor.
A huge amount of value.
Yeah,
but it'll be interesting to see. Otherwise, it could even be, you know, potentially a spin off or something, ODST style. But I doubt it.
Yeah,
I find that very unlikely.
It could honestly just be Halo 2 anniversary.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's probably your worst case scenario.
I would say definitely worst case scenario.
Yeah, a lot of people do still say that Halo 2 is one of their favorites, though.
Mm, except the ending.
Yeah. I don't really care about Halo story. I played the game.
That's true. Basically, gameplay and music makes Halo.
Yeah, that's right. The fact that, to me, everything is so big makes the gunfire on a console just work. Every enemy is so huge. So
yeah, the crosshair is huge.
Exactly.
But yeah, it is perfectly made for a console
that's
shooter.
That's why I think Microsoft had the better shooters in Gears of War and Halo. They were slower.
I'd agree, totally.
But the fact that you were able to aim at them better.
Hmm. Yeah, totally true.
Yep. Well, anyway, we're not going to turn this into a PS4 Xbox War like we should. But 2014 for the rumored Halo game, and 2015 for Halo 5, as well as the Halo TV show.
It'd still be cool if they showed off something about Halo 5 at
E3. Oh, I'm sure they'll show something.
Yeah, I think they will too.
But I think my guess is they released this information early, so people just went like, that's it.
With they Halo weren't 5. Thinking it's coming 2014.
Yeah, that's exactly. Right. They probably wanted to get that information out there nice and early.
Mm.
Now, next piece of information, Far Cry 4 was announced.
Yeah,
this
I heard
is another, this. This is another thing. I don't see why all this stuff is getting announced before E3. A company is so sort of assured of their lineup that they don't need these big games. I mean, I wasn't huge on Far Cry 3. To me, it was probably the best one besides 1 and 2. I thought 2 was dreadful, didn't play much of it. 1 was good until there was monsters.
Yeah.
3, it was good, but to me, it found like it did the same Ubisoft standard thing. Do something cool and then repeat it.
Totally. Far Cry 3 for me was way too repetitive.
Yep.
It was kind of like a really cool slice of gameplay.
Yep.
But then just repeated over
it's
and
like,
over.
Oh, that's a cool awesome 3.5 hours. Yeah. Now do it for 10 more.
Yeah. it's what they do in all their games lately. I mean, Assassin's Creed. Yeah. I should say in all their big
franchises.
Well,
the thing is, that's what we think, but reviewers are still giving them 9s and 10s.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, obviously everyone feels differently.
Yeah, that's right. But Far Cry 4, set in the Himalayas, yet it looks pretty much like they just reskinned Far Cry 3's
enemy. That's what I thought too. So it's obviously going to be another open world jungle shooter.
Yep. So, I mean, Far Cry 4, again, it's the problem with, I'll look at it and I'll think, oh, I don't want to get it, but if it gets great reviews, I'll think maybe this time it's changed, but hopefully I'll stay away from it because Ubisoft hasn't put out something amazing for me that hasn't been a part of the Rayman Legends.
Yeah, exactly what I was about to say. Rayman's awesome, but that's a totally different team at Ubisoft. Yeah,
exactly. Next little bit of information news, the PS Vita Slim has been announced with a June 4 release date of $270.
Is that in Australia? Australia.
Now, the PSV Vita Slim was released to be cheaper. It's got cheaper parts in it.
Yes, that's right.
So why is it $270?
Because they can. Because they hope that people will.
You pretty much almost think like, oh, it's a new one. When no, it's not a new one. It's actually a downgrade. But it comes with a gig of memory. But
I mean,
it's supposed to be more comfortable to hold, though.
Yeah, so that's good. And the fact that it's a bit slimmer is good. The fact that its rear touchpad is smaller, that's also good.
That's what a lot of people have said.
But the screen isn't as good. So
that's right.
And that's, I mean, a lot of what the people loved about the initial Vita was the screen. So it's not perfect, that's for sure. And like you said, it's definitely not reflecting any kind of drop in the...
I thought for sure it was going to be 199 RRP.
That would have been much more competitive.
So I basically would have thought, okay, new Vita... Every game retail will bundle in a game for $199.
And sorry, is that $270 just for the console itself? Yes. Not in the...
That's $270 for the console.
So I wonder what they're going to charge for the Borderlands bundle.
I'd say it'll probably come at $270 anyway.
Mm.
That'd be my guess. I mean, the fact that Borderlands is reviewed so poorly, so if you haven't looked that up, Borderlands has received some very bad reviews.
Sure has, Vita. Yeah.
Now, a lot of people said, oh, this is going to be the end of the AAA games for Vita. And then I sort of think, okay, well, where are your AAA
Vita
games besides Uncharted, which was on release date? You had Call of Duty made by a terrible team that released a terrible game. Assassin's Creed, which admittedly was meant to be quite good, probably better on the Vita than it was Assassin's Creed 3, which is why I think they actually ported it.
Exactly right.
But it didn't sell well. Resistance and Killzone, which Resistance was terrible and Killzone was meant to actually be pretty good, but again, hard to control.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it's, even though it's got the twin joysticks, it's just not a first-person shooter console.
No.
That's just my feeling on that anyway. What I do love about the Vita is it actually has a lot of sort of more niche, you know, JRPGs and all that kind of thing. It's becoming a system that's really, really good for that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, those aren't the games that sell millions and millions of copies, so
that's right.
It's a bit of a catch-22 there.
Alright, moving on to our next little bit of information. Half-Life 2 and Portal are now available on the Nvidia Shield.
Oh, really?
Yes, but unfortunately they play pretty poorly.
Oh, that's a shame. I'm confused here. Isn't the Nvidia Shield just something that...
It's an Android.
But it literally just displays what's on your computer, doesn't it?
No, that's one of its features.
Oh, right. So they've come up with versions of the game specifically for it.
They've made Half-Life 2 and Portal pretty much on Android.
Oh, okay.
So technically, you'd think there's not that much work to be done if they were going to release it on a tablet.
But
from what people were saying, it runs poorly due to the console, not the game as much. The console can't handle it.
Yeah, because it's probably built pretty much
it's almost 2 years old now, the Shield.
That's true. But also, I thought it was very much geared towards just streaming.
Yeah, pretty much streaming a picture rather than being made for
it. Rather than being a beast in its own right.
Good of Valve to try it.
Totally.
And go with it, but unlike Valve to let something out that doesn't play pretty perfect.
Yeah. Maybe they're just showing people, hey, we tried.
Yeah.
Stop asking us now.
Or maybe they're just saying, give me money.
Yeah, maybe.
But it's a step in the right direction. It could mean there are some games eventually released. Another thing I didn't actually write on here, but I've just remembered, Xbox Games with Gold has actually done quite a turnaround.
Yes, it has.
It's been announced that Xbox One in the next month will take advantage of it, and you will get Max the Brotherhood and Halo Spartan Assault, both pretty well-reviewed games for free on the Xbox One, and Xbox 360 gets Dark Souls, and I forget the other one. But...
Yeah, they were reasonably high-profile.
They were good games.
Yeah, they were, yeah, for sure.
So they've actually, you know, and they've also announced that you will no longer need Xbox Live Gold to run applications and use Skype and, you know, in America, a different side, you won't have to use Netflix and things like that. So here you won't have to use it for, like, the Channel 10 app and thing, yeah, which is very good. So and they've actually said that people who have bought Gold just to do these things, they will refund them.
Oh, really?
They will back pay them.
That's impressive. Let's be honest, they're pretty much doing a PS Plus.
Yeah, pretty much. With the new owner, they really are trying to... Well, not owner, but CEO. They really are trying to get back on side.
Yeah, exactly.
They're
get
doing all
back.
They can. I mean, people saying, oh, Games with Gold's crap. Now they're sort of turning it around.
Yeah.
I mean,
It's never going to be overnight, but...
Nah, it's never going to be overnight, but right now, Dark Souls is a
big,
good
big
game
step
to be
in the right direction,
away.
Totally, yeah.
I mean, it's a few years old, but it definitely is a game that's getting... It's pretty high profile right now because of the sequel.
Of course, yeah.
So people think, oh, I never played the first one. Oh, I can get it for free now. Why won't I grab it?
Yeah, like I've seen some people say, like, oh, but Dark Souls was available on PS Plus ages ago. And it's like, yeah, well...
That's exactly right.
That's a fair point. But, you know, it'll just be interesting to see what games they start bringing out after this, too.
Yeah, exactly.
But they will have to start bringing out newer games. Simple as that. You can't just recycle your shovelware.
No.
And I think they've realised that now.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, the fact that they're allowing...
I shouldn't say shovelware. I should say, like, your six-year-old games or whatever.
The fact that they're now adding Xbox One to it as well, which
definitely...
Makes it better for the people who have got this console. Because
for sure.
I've looked at buying both them games before, but thought, So now the fact that I'm going to be able to get them for free.
And the smart thing about both Sony and Microsoft offering, you know, one license for all your systems is it encourages you to keep buying more of their systems, to
that's
be
right.
like a loyal customer. I mean, you know, that's obviously why they do it, but it's certainly smart.
Oh, definitely. I mean, if I didn't have a PS Plus, there's no chance I would have bought a Vita.
Mm.
I think I said that last week, but still.
No, it's true.
All right, moving on again. Diablo 3, the Ultimate Evil Edition, released on August 19th, which is the console version of Diablo 3 and the expansion, so Reaper of Souls, for 360, PlayStation 3, PS4, and Xbox One. Now, Blizzard were being very quiet about an Xbox One version of Diablo, yet, out of nowhere, like, people kept asking, they didn't say a word, then out of nowhere, they said, all right, they're all coming on the exact same date. So maybe there was a bit of fighting between Microsoft and Diablo for that, or
maybe,
yeah, or maybe they had to work out something on the back end. But it's all coming out on the same day.
Interesting. So was the PS4 version announced a while ago or something?
It was.
Oh, okay. So everyone wasn't sure
whether
it was going to go on Xbox One.
That's exactly right. And I mean, from what I've heard, the game's meant to play better on the console.
I've heard that too. I've heard it played really, really well.
Well, I didn't enjoy the game that much on PC, but I've been tempted to pick it up on console now because I've heard quite a few people say it plays quite fun on the console.
Yeah. I can kind of see why as well. I think I would prefer to, you know, hit a trigger or something
as opposed to
constantly clicking.
Constantly just hitting that left click all the time. If, you know, you're moving, using a controller, I think would benefit that. So I might pick it up when it comes out, depending on its reviews.
Yeah, I'll give that consideration as well. I mean, and the expansion is meant to be very good.
Yeah, that's right.
It's meant to change the game dramatically. And, and also, there were many patches after we played Diablo 3 that improved things as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, it's meant to be a very different game now.
Yeah. And just quickly touching on, Dota 2 has almost hit $6 million worth of prize money. Now, last year's TI3...
Mm-hmm.
It reached 2.9 million over 75 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, I think, 13 days now,
Ooh.
And it's at 5.6.5.
Yeah, it's pretty
already.
Scary.
And it's become the largest prize pool ever for an eSport. So people who win will take home the largest amount of cash ever.
It's not surprising. It's a huge
quite
amount.
Amazing when you think how much less they make than League of Legends, that this is the highest.
I've got to say, it's pretty genius of Valve.
Oh,
the way that they've done this compendium thing. Not only do they get a stack of money out of it, heaps of money out of it, but the thing is, for anyone who's playing the game, you know, the fact it gives you bonus battle points, all these items, it kind of makes sense to buy it. So it works for the people buying it, but, you know, it also works for this prize pool.
Well, think of it this way. For $10, you're at a $10, $2.50 goes to the compendium.
I know.
So they're getting $7.50.
Yep.
So 5.6 million.
I know. I know exactly what that means.
Again, by three, and that's how much they've put straight into their pocket.
Yeah. Like, Valve know what they're doing when it comes to making money. Let's not doubt it. But it's a genius idea to leverage how many people they've got playing and say, hey, you know, by buying this, you'll also be adding to the prize pool.
Like, just in the qualifiers the other day, hit the Steam record of most concurrent users in a game. Mm-hmm. There's 878,000 people in Dota.
And just think about it, like, they're getting this award now for, well, they're getting this all this recognition and accolades for the largest esports award, you know, prize pool ever. And yet, they didn't have to contribute that much of it.
That's right.
So that's the intelligent part to me. It's very they're going to steal the headlines.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, the productions they put on, like, for the TI3 were, to me, brilliant. Yeah. Like, they had, you know, commentary team, different commentary teams the whole way through. Like, there was about four different ones that rotated, so it wasn't always hearing the same person. And
different languages.
Different languages going, and they had the interviewer.
Yeah.
Casey doing the interviews.
I'm less into Dota than Dylan, but I have to say that the effort that Valve's put in and the foresight they've put into trying to make, you know, the esports side of it more approachable, it's borderline genius.
Yeah, it's brilliant. But, I mean, whatever they do for esports, they're making it better.
Yeah, yep, definitely. And, I mean, putting it within the game, to me, was so key.
Oh,
it's no longer finding internet websites that you, like, pay subscription fees. It's just in the game.
Yeah, in the game.
It's so easy to find.
You click a button, and the commentators got control of your screen.
Yeah, you can, yeah, exactly.
They bring up all the facts. They do everything for you while they're talking about it.
And you're seeing exactly what they're looking at.
There's even little pop-ups in the corner of trivia.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff.
It's insane.
And you get the opportunity to get a drop, which Dave definitely has before.
Yeah, got pretty lucky.
But, yep, so, I mean, that's the thing. You can watch it for free.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
That's right.
I mean, the game's free. You can watch it for free. So there's no real reason why to not give it a crack if you've never done it before. But
definitely.
Either way, they're making too much money and I'm not. Moving on. Watch Dogs. Sony came out confirming that it was going to run 1080p, 60 frames per second. They maintained that for about a week until all of a sudden Ubisoft took that off their website.
Oh, really?
Just without saying a word, Ubisoft took it off their website saying, no, we're no longer stating that. Then when it came out, they've said, I think it's going to run, I'm pretty sure, at 792 at 30 frames.
Oh.
Yep.
That's a big drop.
That is a
So that's on all systems.
Well, that's what's pushing out at PS4. No one's said anything about Xbox. But
well, you'd probably assume maybe similar then.
You'd have to think similar.
But even then, that's a huge drop.
A big drop.
And Ubisoft have got an enormous development studio, so if even they can't get it working, then...
Yeah, it's that thing again where it's an open world game.
Yeah.
They're probably trying to do all this sort of stuff, and then they're like, hang on, we still obviously don't know how to use the technology well enough, or it's not good enough.
Yeah, that's
but at this point in the life cycle, you'd think they don't know the coding and technology
Totally. And things always get better.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's a bit disappointing that, you know, they maintained for so long that it was going to be 1080, and then, I mean, this is not a minor drop.
No,
that's a significant downgrade.
For people like us, you can notice difference between 30 and 60.
Yeah,
because sure. There is that good, that
no,
smooth.
You can.
Like, you can tell going from Dark Souls on a PC to
exactly.
to an Xbox. I mean, there's a difference between Xbox 360 and a PC, but when you play it the first time and you get them extra frames, even at the same graphical quality, the fact that you've got more frames, it just feels like you're playing a smoother, faster game.
Much smoother, yeah.
So, I mean, it is good to see that, but it is funny that, you know, they come out boasting and swinging, and then Ubisoft just quietly sort of quietly
sweeps
saying,
it under the carpet.
No, we're done. But yeah, that pretty much to me brings a wrap of the news.
Oh, I just wanted to mention one other thing as well, which is more just an interesting thing I read. This was about a Titanfall. Titanfall patch that got...
It was patched apparently within an hour.
That's impressive.
They did really well. People were commenting on that. So I know what you're going to say, but still mention it because it's quite
fun. I'm going to mention it just because I think it's amusing. For such a high-profile game, you know, an update came out. I think it was an update that triggered it. And basically, I think they unlocked the frames on PC. So the idea was, you know, people with brutally powerful hardware could really
actually you could go from a max of 60 frames per second to 144 frames per second.
Sure, which sounds really good on paper. The only problem was that the way it was coded was totally amateurish. In fact... the rate at which you fired was linked to the frames per second. So, you know, someone on 60 frames per second would shoot about half the speed of someone who's getting 120 frames per second, which is not ideal at all.
Sounds like every game I play. Anyway, it seems like everyone's shooting faster than me.
It always feels that way, but this time it was literally true.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, look, it's impressive they got it fixed quickly. They really had to.
Exactly.
Because it's, yeah, and it's just kind of baffling to think that kind of thing slips through the net, but...
Yeah, you gotta wonder. They're like, oh, we'll just give people access to it. But they never test it.
Yeah, exactly, but... Oh, well.
It is a piece of funny news.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll move on. What have you played this week?
Oh, basically Persona 4, pretty much.
Yeah.
Heaps and heaps of Persona 4.
I do know one other game you played.
Go on.
Walking Dead.
Oh, yes, I did. True.
Now, The Walking Dead is getting a lot of great reviews for Season 2.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Even the latest, okay.
Even the latest episode was sitting around 8.5, I think was the lowest I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I like the game. I like The Walking Dead.
We should probably say here, like, maybe potentially minor spoilers before we go on. Just
yeah, I'm not really going to say what's going to happen, but I don't think it's getting reflective reviews. I think it's being basically looked at through your rose-tinted glasses.
Yeah, I don't know.
People loved Walking Dead, but we're three episodes in now, which is over halfway,
mm-hmm.
when you technically think about it, and it is nowhere near as good as the first season, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I enjoy The Wolf Among Us more.
Yeah.
I think that's more creative and right now, because, I mean, The Walking Dead, unfortunately, there is a lot of this, okay, we're in trouble, let's go here, we're in trouble again, let's go here, we're in trouble again, let's go here. You sort of can see where things are going.
Totally, yeah.
But, I mean, you still get surprised, like, oh, I didn't think that person was going to die.
Yeah, my feeling with Walking Dead Season 2 is that there are individual moments and scenes that are really, really strong.
Yep.
But the overall
collectively, story it's probably sitting to me most episodes at around a 7.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say they're bad. 7's still a good score.
No, that's right. But it's becoming more predictable to me. Yeah, that's probably the biggest problem.
When I see reviews that tell me, oh, 9, 9.5, I think, oh, this one's going to be really good. And then I sit there and I think, yeah, this is good. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
I just felt that Season 1 probably kept things a bit more varied for me. I know they still move from place to place, but this one so far has been, I don't know, well, I must say, particularly in the latest episode, where I literally pretty much called everything that was going to happen, and I felt like I'd played the whole episode before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people who've even been watching the show will probably see parallels here and there between things that have been on the TV show. So, yeah, it's just a bit strange. And particularly because we know that Telltale have really, really good writers.
Yeah.
And it just feels like they maybe didn't utilize all their skills in the latest episode.
Well, think about what they've currently got on their plate.
I know.
Walking Dead, Wolf Among Us, The Borderlands.
Game of Thrones.
And the Game of Thrones one.
It's insane,
I mean, fair enough, they mightn't be writing for Game of Thrones. I'm sure they would be for Borderlands right now, because I don't think that's that far away.
Yeah.
But are you splitting your team a bit thin,
totally. I just wonder whether they bit off more they can chew, more than they can chew. And, I mean, does Borderlands really need a story focused? Well, I don't know. I'm sure Borderlands fans will disagree with
me. Yeah, we're hard pressed here because I don't like Borderlands.
I think it's okay. I just think that most people play it for shooting and loot.
Yeah.
And not so much for a storyline focused thing, so.
Yeah, we'll see, I guess.
We'll see, definitely.
So what else were you playing? I've played a fair bit of Dota 2, which is not surprising.
No surprise.
And Dave's Persona is telling me it almost feels like a job in some aspects.
No, I never said that, did I?
Well, he said it felt like work when all of a sudden you realised you had to put an hour into something you couldn't leave halfway through.
Early on in the game, I felt like there was a bit of a grind section.
Yep.
And yet, ever since then, I've never had to do it. So, it's one of those rare games that starts off super hard early.
Yep.
And then, from then on, things have so far been much, much, much smoother. Maybe I figured out how to play the game after the intro.
Go on. Looking at games that are coming up.
Sure.
We have Wolfenstein out in a few days.
Really?
Yep.
That's coming out quietly.
The 20th, so in 2 days.
Very quietly. I wonder if it'll be any good. I've seen,
there's quite a few banners around.
Okay.
Even in Melbourne. I'm seeing them on train stations and bus stops and things everywhere. I hear a lot of ads online, but I listen to podcasts and things like that.
I guess by quiet, I mean more previews. I haven't seen any previews, really.
Yeah, it is a bit. You usually have a bit more information out by now, but from what all the things I've heard, most people who have seen it and played it have said it's been quite fun.
Okay, cool.
But who knows what that translates into. So that we've got that in a few days, as well as a few days later, Watch Dogs.
That's right, yeah.
Yep.
That really snuck up on me. I knew it was coming for ages, but then it got delayed at one stage, and then I just never really paid attention.
I think it was originally like August last
year. Yeah,
It was something ridiculous like that, then all of a sudden there was just like a 9-month delay.
Watch Dogs will be really interesting. Yeah. I'm really, really looking forward to finding out anyway, whether it's going to live up to its, you know, the promise it's had for about the last 3 years, it feels like.
You can hack everything, you can do all this.
Yeah, but can you?
That's exactly like, you know, the multiplayer mode. Where
or is it going to feel like a new age Assassin's Creed, essentially? This is what I want to know.
That's my fear. Yeah. I think, okay, pretty much it's just Assassin's Creed, but instead of a little
hidden... with cars and...
instead of a little hidden blade, he's got a little PDA.
Yeah. Yeah.
But...
we'll find out.
That's right. Hey, is there anything else that we can cover?
Is there any other games coming out? I feel like there is a bit of a lull in software at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it is the pre-E3 build-up,
when you think about it. That's true.
So, I mean, Nintendo have got... apparently, they've got a new game to announce.
That's right.
At their conference. I mean, a lot of people think it might just be these little Skylander type things.
I'll be devastated if it is. I'll be devastated.
It's a little Mario Skylander thing.
Maybe they've been listening to our podcasts and they're deep in work on Metroid 2D.
Or they're deep in thought about... Skylander. Making Majora's Mask, but from the perspective of Kirby.
a Kirby Majora's Mask game.
That's right.
Yeah? I think a lot of people would go for that.
So would I.
They have got a new Kirby game coming on 3DS.
What's that one?
I can't remember the name, but it's coming out or it's just come out. I can't remember.
No one cares. Who honestly cares about Kirby?
No, there's quite a few fans out there.
There's not.
Smash Brothers.
Some people like different.
Smash Brothers.
Yeah, honestly, I think Kirby is a lot bigger in Japan than it is here.
Probably.
But yeah. I think everything by Nintendo is bigger in Japan than it is here.
I'd probably agree with that too.
What they need to do is put Monster Hunter in Smash Brothers.
Yeah, I think. Well, yeah, you're right. The Japanese audience would love it.
Give me the Royal Ludroth again.
You control Mario. The monster.
You don't control the hunter. You control the monster. I want the Baroth.
Jeez.
Just that big big shovel head thing. It was boom.
They would definitely get them on side. One thing I've never mentioned on this podcast is that I went to Japan just recently.
That's why we had a lull for a few weeks.
Yeah, sorry about that. I shouldn't have done it. But while I was over there, one thing became really clear, and that is that the Japanese really, really like Monster Hunter. I knew that. I did know that, but I still wasn't prepared for just how much they liked it. I mean, when you're looking at gaming merchandise, I'd probably say in most stores... And there is a lot of gaming merchandise in Japan, but probably about 70% of it's Monster Hunter. Monster Hunter is everywhere.
It's no wonder that the audience went pretty nuts when Monster Hunter 4 was announced for the 3DS.
And it was such a game changer for them. Like, it's why all the Vita owners were devastated that it wasn't coming. I mean, previously Monster Hunter had been PSP, so they felt really betrayed. And of course, over in America, Australia, and Europe, while it has got a bit of a following, it's not a game changer in any... like, it's still pretty niche, but yeah, in Japan, it is the game. The
Japanese don't mind grinding games, though, do they?
No, but it does have the social aspect as well, because, I mean, the PSP one, you could connect with friends to play online, and of course, in Monster Hunter 4, you can play online properly, not just local. So, right. I mean, that would have been a massive, massive deal over there.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, saying that, Nintendo have had quite a bit of success with Mario Kart.
That's
true. Getting great reviews everywhere.
Yeah, for the Wii U, yeah.
Yep, and now, but does it make you want to buy a Wii U?
No, but...
Maybe we should start a weekly segment. Do you feel like buying a Wii U? Every week we go and we talk about it and we say yes or no.
The day we say yes will mean that they've brought out something seriously amazing. Look, and I'd love it if they brought out something that amazing.
Majora's Mask 2.
I'd be really happy if the Nintendo Direct, you know, at E3, they announced something that was just awesome. And unexpected. But I can't see it. I just can't see it at this stage.
And on that note, we'll call it an end for episode 9.
Yep.
And we'll hopefully see you next.